Joining us tonight by phone is Sidney Powell, defense attorney for General Michael Flynn, former federal prosecutor herself, and a great American. Sidney, great to have you with us. Let's start with the ownership of these voting firms. I know you're focusing on that part of the electoral fraud that's been perpetrated this year in this election. Why don't we know who they are?
Well, because they've used multiple shell companies and now apparently private equity groups to hide their actual ownership. But there's no doubt that the software was created and used in Venezuela to control the elections and make sure that Hugo Chavez was always reelected as the dictator of Venezuela in what appeared to be, quote, free and fair elections, end quote. But they were manipulated by the software used in the Dominion machines and used by other machines in the United States, frankly. And we are just continuing to be inundated by evidence of all the frauds here in every manner and means of fraud you could possibly think of.
I think many Americans have given no thought to electoral fraud that would be perpetrated through electronic voting. That is, these machines, these electronic voting companies, including Dominion, prominently Dominion, at least in the suspicions of a lot of Americans. We don't even know who has actually seen this software work. We don't know where their servers are for sure. We know a couple of them are overseas, and by overseas, I mean in Germany and Spain. It's just stunning that we have progressed this far with these companies and have permitted these entities that we don't know what their ownership is. We don't know what their possible bias is. How could this be?
Because of all the corruption in the country, we need to find a way to follow the money back as far even as when this was approved by the special government committee called CFIUS, S-C-F-I-U-S, which are the heads of the respective agencies at the time who approved Dominion coming into the country and running our elections. And, I mean, Carolyn Maloney and Klobuchar and Warren have been raising Cain about this issue for a long time.
Right.
But nobody's done anything about it.
And as last year.
Yeah, and as best I can tell, both parties have any number of people who are at fault in the fact this has continued to play any role in our elections whatsoever, and we have no idea of who all has benefited from it. Somebody needs to do a massive money-following investigation to find out who paid what to whom.
Well, you have promised a Kraken will be unleashed. We were expecting perhaps your suit would be filed yesterday or today. When shall we expect your lawsuit?
Well, I think no later than tomorrow. It's just going to be it's a massive document, and it's going to have a lot of exhibits.
And who will be the defendant or defendants?
The defendants are going to be folks in Georgia who are responsible for supposedly making sure the elections in Georgia are done properly. And there are just countless incidents of voter fraud and election fraud writ large in Georgia.
In Georgia, are you planning any other suits beyond Georgia?
Yes, we are. We'll be rolling them out as fast as we possibly can, because it affected the entire country, actually. We even have an affidavit now from a distant state that's done by one of the election officials in the state telling us all the things that person witnessed as being wrong there. So it was nationwide.
Well, the number of affidavits is voluminous now. The eyewitnesses are considerable. Your thoughts now about what will be the impact, and can it be adjudicated in such a way as to meet all of the deadlines that are forced upon you? That is December 8th, December 14th. Give us your sense of the timing and the urgency of getting this to resolution.
Yes. Well, obviously, it couldn't be more urgent. But yes, the time deadlines should be able to be met, and the evidence is so overwhelming, it's almost as though they were so blatant about it, they expected us to catch it, and, you know, maybe it's a diversion from something else that's going on. I don't know, but it's also clear that there was foreign intrusion into our voting systems, and that's going to be the real, where the rubber meets the road.
You know, a person that I hold in high regard, who's been at various points in this political conflict over the last 4 years, said the difference this year in the political corruption and the pervasive nature of it is that he believes the left doesn't even care. The radical Dems, the deep state, don't even care whether we find out what we know. And I thought about it, and, you know, I think he may be well, that may be well considered. Your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's exactly how blatant it is, and all kinds of it are equally blatant. I mean, people sitting on the floor and on the side, writing on the side of buses, filling out ballot after ballot. It's in your face everywhere. The statistical evidence is insurmountable. The mathematical evidence is to mathematical impossibilities. There's no way there was anything but widespread election fraud here. We've got one witness that says in Arizona, at least there were 35,000 votes added to every Democratic candidate just to start their voting off. It's like getting your $500 of Monopoly money to begin with when you haven't done anything. And it was only for Democrats.
Do you think that we're going to see the Trump presidency saved?
Yes, I definitely do. There's no issue in my mind but that he was elected in an absolute landslide nationwide.
Sidney Powell, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
The biggest nationalist in the history of this country, the biggest, single biggest nationalist in the history of this country, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was about the Union. Obviously, freeing the slaves, part of it, right? A big part of it. Particularly after a couple years in the war when he knew he had to take the war to the higher moral plane. But it was to save the Union at first, right? What did Lincoln do? His side gig when he fought a bloody civil war as basically a totalitarian dictator because he became himself a warlord, he had to win it. He, which they never talk about today when they're jumping on Trump. This is a guy that really threw reporters in jail, threw a congressman in jail, running guys out of the country, putting guys in prison with no habeas corpus. He did three things. He passed the Transcontinental Railroad, he passed the Homestead Act, and he passed the Land-Grant University Act, right? This was a guy that had a vision.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
20,000 plus emails and text messages, okay, that show a substantial and deep involvement with foreign companies controlled by foreign governments that have never been disclosed before, okay? These people are, they're a national security problem. And the issue before us today is why the FBI didn't deal with the national security problem. This is just not a bunch of grifters from Wilmington, Delaware, right? This guy's running for president of the United States. He's been vice president of the United States. He was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, okay? Every country in the world is trying to get access to him, okay? This is what this issue is about. This is a national security problem. And the guys around him, the Jake Sullivans, the Tony Blinkens, all these guys that want to be, you know, Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and National Security Advisor, they're going to have to answer 20,000 plus emails and text messages, okay, that show a substantial and
okay.
deep.
And one time is good. Denver. I know Denver loves these things so much they want to play them twice. Okay. That is Stephen K. Bannon. When was that?
October 14th,
2 months ago, calling out Tony Blinken all by name. Can't get confirmed because you're up to your neck. And by the way, one of the articles today, I think it was in The Hill, said there may be a problem here with this Hunter thing. Of course, they go back to Burisma. Burisma is a sideshow. I'm talking the real dollars, China, CCP. Okay, now, Rudy Giuliani, who, by the way, brought us into the hard drive from hell. Now, Jack, I don't know if Jack Maxey's more obsessed with the data from the election or more obsessed with the hard drive from hell. But we'll go for, I think his new obsession is data, but he's getting back to the hard drive.
Well, briefly, I did step away so that I could look through all of Anthony Blinken's emails between he and Hunter, some of which were on an AOL account promising a little favor from the State Department. So if nothing else, certainly the Senate hearings will be exciting.
Yeah, I shouldn't be using that AOL account. Not good. Okay, we're back to that. Where's his emails? Okay, let's go now. We got America's mayor, the president's lawyer, the head of this effort to make sure that every legal vote counts. He's defending the country, as he does all the time. One of the best prosecutors in the history of our nation. Put the mob away, put the Wall Street mafia away. Rudy Giuliani. Mayor, thank you very much. I know you're incredibly busy with not just doing interviews, but everything you're doing in the campaign. You finally broke through, and you're going to have a hearing tomorrow, and I think it's in historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
tell us, how did you finally pull this? It's fabulous. How'd you pull it off? And you're the guy that's going to be you're going to be presenting. You're the key presenter with, I guess, some of your witnesses. We do know that Liz Preate Harvey is going to be also. She's from Montgomery County. She's going to be there with other, I think, officials in the Republican Party to walk through how some of these counties are so out of whack with history. But you're bringing the receipts. You're actually bringing, I think, affidavits and maybe some witnesses. Tell people. How did you finally pull this off, and what are you going to do tomorrow?
Well, you know, the courts have shut us out from having a hearing. When I say the courts, we've only gotten to that point with one court, and that was the court in Pennsylvania. All we were asking for was a hearing so that we could put on a sample of our 50 or so witnesses, maybe 20 of them, and then affidavits. And the judge cut us off, and we're on appeal, but it'll take us a week or two to resolve that. So I spoke to members of the legislature. It's their responsibility to conduct the presidential election, by the way. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution puts the selection of the electors in the hands of the state legislature, not the governor, not the commissioner of elections. They're just functionaries. The decision maker by the Constitution of the United States are the state legislators. So we went to them and said, basically, we're getting robbed. Not only have they cheated us out of the election, they're cheating us out of a hearing. So we'll have our first hearing tomorrow. We'll produce a sample of the witnesses, maybe 8, 10 of the 50 that we have. But they'll cover the categories of fraud that happened in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania was a complete ripoff. I mean, there are well over 600,000 illegitimate ballots in Pennsylvania. And you know that happened. I mean, the president was ahead 800,000 votes when he went to sleep on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. All of a sudden, the next morning, you know, they make up 500, 600,000 votes. That's just crazy. And we have the witnesses who will say that no Republican ever got a chance to put their eyes on any of those mail-in ballots, ever. Even though there's a time-honored rule in every state that you get to inspect the ballot, both sides, so that they can't be cheating, we were shut out. Hundreds of inspectors were shut out. Never happened before. They were put in corrals like they were cattle. They were pushed around, pushed out. They didn't want Republicans getting anywhere near these ballots. And there's got to be only one reason for that, Steve, the obvious reason. The ballots were crooked. They were phony. And then we'll have witnesses that come on and say they showed up to vote on election day. And they were told, you voted already. And they said, no, we didn't vote already. Yes, you did. No, we didn't. Well, in fact, they had voted, but somebody else had voted for them. We've got 17,000 situations like that just in Pittsburgh. 17,000 like that. We'll have a list, of course, of the dead people that voted in Philadelphia. It wouldn't be an election in Philadelphia if a lot of dead people didn't vote. I think we got only half of them. The other half, you know, could take a little. It's hard to find dead people. You know, you can't, like, go interview them. You have to go through the lists and see. But in some cases in Philadelphia, it's easy because some of them have been dead 30 and 40 years. I mean, they cheat in Philadelphia like you can get away with it because it's a crooked city machine.
Yeah.
And the courts are crooked.
Yep. Yep. Let me just jump in here. I just got to ask some things. So, are you saying that you don't think the judge and the federal judge did not schedule and basically try to blow you guys out of the water at the first gating event and didn't give you an evidentiary hearing because he did not want to? They did not want to. That's a pretty harsh charge against a federal judge, isn't it?
Well, it's the fact. I mean, very few cases get dismissed on a motion to dismiss. In doing it, he decided that he didn't agree with some of the allegations. Well, you don't make a decision like that on a motion to dismiss. On a motion to dismiss, not to get too technical, you have to assume that everything that I'm saying is true. And if it's true, there's no case. Well, if it is true that they secretly counted 682,770 votes, then I should at least get a hearing, right? Right? You can't decide on paper that that's true or false, particularly when I tell you affidavits.
Yeah. So that's the point I'm trying to get. I'm trying to go through the logical. So, and you're saying, therefore, you get that 600,000 numbers, the 682, that you're saying is what you guys calculated, that the observers were pushed away or not allowed to get and observe, that is of the 2.6 million mail-in ballots, that 682,000 of them were without observers being close enough to actually do checkings of naked ballots, the signatures and all
Correct.
That. Is that the point
Correct.
You're making? Okay.
Yes. And then we have external evidence that their method of cheating was to stuff the ballot box with those ballots. So, of course, they wanted to keep us away. I should also correct. Yep. Professor Turley goes on television all the time and says we want to cancel 6 or 7 million votes. I have no idea what he's talking about. We're talking about 600,000 votes. We don't want to cancel all the votes. We want to cancel the illegal votes. We'd like to cancel the votes of the dead people. I hope he's okay with that. We'd like to cancel the votes where there's an overvote. So you have some precincts in which, let's say, 4,000 people are registered, but 8,000 people voted. Well, you know there are 4,000 illegitimate votes in that precinct. We have illegal
I just
want to
go,
voters.
Yeah.
But when people say every category of fraud in Pennsylvania.
Good. And here's my other point. When people say you have no evidence and you've just been throwing wild accusations, it's back to that 600,000. And then tomorrow you're going to bring in every different category and vertical affidavits that are emblematic of others that you could get, right?
Right.
That add up
exactly.
to a certain number. Now, that number does not add up to 682, but you'll be able to say, hey, it goes over that?
Yes. Well, it's well over 682. I mean, it's at least another couple hundred thousand in those other categories.
Okay.
No,
so you can
no
get up to 800,000 plus.
Easily. Easily that we can count that needs to be deducted from the vote. And once again, we're not asking for 7 million votes to be canceled. That would be – I think people say that to make us sound like we're stupid. And then they say things like, we have no evidence, but they don't bother to read the complaint. We actually attach affidavits to some of the complaints, so they won't be able to say that. And affidavits are sworn statements. They're a lot better than Democrats ever produce. They never produce sworn statements. They just produce anonymous people. These are real people. They want to testify. They're citizens of Pennsylvania. We have lined up 80 of them to testify at a trial. We'll take 10 to 12 tomorrow as symbolic of that, so the legislators can see how their own citizens were cheated. I mean, many of them, 17,000 people in Pittsburgh were cheated out of the right to vote because somebody else illegally voted their ballot in the early voting.
But Dershowitz, in going through your case, said, hey, I think Rudy's got a great case to make an argument to rule in his favor. The problem is Rudy doesn't have anywhere close to the – I think it's 80 – is it 82,000 – is it 82 or 52 in Pennsylvania right now to overturn it? To actually overturn it, it was 52 the other day. Is it gotten higher?
Do you know where we are, Greg? 82 or 52?
It's 82,000. You don't have close to the 82,000 – And the courts are not going to give Rudy and the president just a Pyrrhic victory. They're not going to sit there and go, you're absolutely correct, but since you can't show it, because then they're going to have all kind of chaos. I mean, I would love it because it's sure that this is illegal. But do you believe in your witnesses that you can come in tomorrow and make the second point that, hey, we're right on the law, and as importantly, we've got the receipts, or we've got the directionally, we've got the receipts that a judge can sit there and go, yeah, I see where these guys can get to the 82 to actually turn it around,
or to not decertify. I think, and particularly in Pennsylvania, I think we're way over the 82,000 that we need. Just in the ballots that were secretly counted, which had to be inspected, we have 682,000. We have 30 or 40,000 people without citizenship who voted. We have 17,000 alone in Pittsburgh, where people had voted before they got there to vote. In other words, somebody had illegally voted for them. We have about 22,000 in Philadelphia. I mean, the numbers add up to way over, maybe five, six times the number that we need. If they give us a chance to prove it, we can prove it.
Mayor, can I ask you just to hold over for, we got a couple of minutes of commercials and we want to come back. We got a couple of questions to ask you about Arizona. You're expanding the battlefield today with testimony tomorrow in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, in front of the Majority's Committee in the Senate is going to sit there and go through the evidence. Rudy's going to bring the receipts so the national media can sit there. It's a forcing function to force them to look at the evidence that Rudy Giuliani has. So take a short commercial break. We're going to return with America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, in the case to count all legal votes. Remember, all legal votes should be counted. No illegal votes should be counted. We're going to return in a moment. Mayor Giuliani has been gracious enough to spend a few minutes with us here trying to explain. So tomorrow, Mayor, we've seen just reams of statistical analysis that shows that it's impossible mathematically for what happened in Pennsylvania to happen. Are you also, besides witnesses and affidavits and evidence, are you going to have any statistical analysis to let the nation? Because you're forcing guys to, you're going to force me to cover this. So finally you can get presented that the impossible, the CNN and MSNBC are so data evidence-based and science-based when they come talk to about CCP virus, but not here, they won't say anything. Are you going to tomorrow have someone present what the math is here?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, you begin with the fact that there are statisticians, and we'll present that in affidavit form, possibly a witness also. But statisticians who say it was impossible in the amount of time and with the amount of votes left for Biden to not only have caught up, but to get as big a lead as he got when he was 850,000 votes behind. We have several statistical reports like that. There are also reports that analyze as the vote was being counted, the number of machines that were available. It was impossible to count that many votes during that period of time. In other words, the votes were three and four times the capacity of the machine. And that's during the period, like, for example, when they dumped 100,000 votes in Detroit. 100,000 votes came in at 4:30 in the morning in garbage cans and in waste paper baskets and in cardboard boxes. There are four witnesses to that. They'll be presented in Michigan next week. During that period of time, those votes were counted in something like 45 minutes. It would have taken 3 to 4 hours to do that, unless you were double and triple and quadruple counting them. There's evidence like the overvote in Detroit. There are places in Detroit where 200%, 300%, 400% of the registered voters voted. That's, of course, completely impossible. That's why people come in and can't vote, because their names have been used as having voted for a phony voter. And then you, Steve Bannon, show up, or poor Mrs. Jones shows up. She wants to vote, but in the early vote, they'd used Mrs. Jones's name. They'll be inside witnesses. That'll be in Michigan. A woman who worked for the Democrat Party, who was disgusted at what she saw, and testifies from the very beginning in September, they trained her how to cheat. And she did all these things. People would come in, they weren't registered, she'd find a name to attach it to. They told her never to check addresses, never to check signatures. If people were having trouble voting, show them how to vote Democrat. which she did on a number of occasions, and so did her colleagues. And she'll testify she was told never to show a Republican any of the ballots. No matter what they said, the police will back you up, she was told. So this is the kind of election that we're running, Steve, all throughout the country.
This is the Okay, so this is the you're going down this path, and I just want to make sure the audience understands something, because we are burning daylight. You've got these hearings tomorrow. You've got hearing in Arizona and Michigan Monday, Tuesday next week. They're not with the whole legislature. Some of those have to be called back, like in Arizona. But you show tomorrow. You show your evidence. That evidence you're showing tomorrow is also the evidence that you're using in federal court to push this forward in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and in Georgia and other places, correct? So it says people are going to see the evidence you've got, and it's being used in two different forms.
They're going to see, obviously, we don't have enough time to show all of it. So we'll show 20% of it representative of the other 80% that we have.
Since we have a safe harbor on the 8th, and that could be moved, right? But the 14th's a hard date when the Electoral College meets, and they've got to have, if they don't, the electors are not sorted out, it gets kicked to the House. Is there enough time to go down both paths, to go about a legislative path and deal with that, and also the courts? Do you feel comfortable you've got enough runway that you can get lift by pursuing both?
I do, but the reason we went to this strategy of getting the evidence out is it seemed to me that some of the courts were intent on making it certain that we couldn't get our facts out so that people could get on television and sometimes in good faith mistakenly say we have no evidence. And sometimes they know we have evidence and they just lie about it. So it really is important for the American people to know that there is substantial evidence and that the president is pursuing this for the good of the American people. This is a major, major, multi-state, multi-city voter fraud. It is, when I say multi-state, multi-city, it's confined largely to the big cities that have crooked Democrat machines. And they didn't try this in neutral cities or small places.
Right. Right. Swing states, battleground states with big
Democratic
machines.
Yeah.
We got about a minute and a half left.
The number of people who have gone to jail in these cities, Democrat politicians, is legendary. I mean, some of them, like every other mayor, goes to jail. In Philadelphia, you have no idea in Philadelphia how many people have been convicted of voter fraud. It's like it's as frequent as parking tickets in some other places. I mean, it's a hobby.
The last question. Dershowitz laid out an alternative. Congressman Kelly's pursuing this in state court where no evidence, no witnesses, no VAR. He's just going through the pure constitutional. The state legislature did not have the authority to change this for mail-in ballots. They had to have a referendum. Do you believe if you tried another alternative, because Dershowitz is giving you the signal that the Supreme Court would probably back you on that. Have you thought, are you thinking about maybe just going down by pursuit and do a pure thing where you just go hit it on the constitutional issue?
Not quite that, but something very much like that will be filed shortly. I can't exactly disclose the nature of it because it hasn't been decided on, but there'll be a multi-state case that'll be brought on a pure, none of them are pure legal issues, but a much cleaner legal issue. But also, you know, should the Supreme Court decide that way, you also want the American people to know this isn't a technicality. I can show you how Trump actually won Pennsylvania. I can show you he won by about 300,000 votes.
Yeah.
I can show you how he won Michigan by about 80,000 votes. My statisticians can do that by counting out the illegal ballots. And we want people to know that because if that is the result. We want them to know that if you count honest ballots, he wins.
Mayor Giuliani, thank you very much. You're doing God's work. We'll put up your Twitter all your thing for your podcast. Absolutely amazing. America's Mayor. Mayor Giuliani does. I tell you what, he's ultimate honey badger. All that you get attacked, you don't care. You just keep going. That's the ultimate honey badger. Doesn't give a crap. He just keeps grinding. The ultimate honey badger. Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Be back in a moment. Welcome. You're live on Capitol Hill. You're in the war room. We've got Dr. Stephen Hatfield, Greg Manns, our expert on Pennsylvania politics, back from the campaign. Jack Maxey, who's with us, although a little under the weather here, on his fifth chaw of tobacco today. So, you know, it's a big day for Jack. We're on the John Fredericks Radio Network. We're on Real America's Voice, the streaming service of the Trump Revolution. We're on satellite, Dish Channel 219, Comcast Channel 113, Newsmax TV in 70 million homes, and, of course, throughout the known and unknown world on GNews and GTV. I want to thank our Chinese American partners for doing that for us, putting in a Mandarin. Okay, we've got now, and we understand he's under time pressure, Boris Epstein, also from the legal side of the campaign, fighting for President Trump. Boris, I think we didn't have time to, the mayor, we got into the details, but I want to pull the camera back just for a second, because I think it's amazing, given all the grief you guys are getting. Actually, when you see the battlefield, and you see now the evidence that you've got, the receipts that you have, and the details, the statistics, the math, the affidavits, the witnesses, across the board, the media saying it's over, and Trump's moving to Florida, and the Secret Service is going down there, and everything. You guys are expanding this. You're in Pennsylvania, in Gettysburg tomorrow with the state senate of Pennsylvania. You're in, I think, Arizona on Monday, Michigan on Tuesday at state legislatures, right? Keying up to go before the entire body there. You're fighting in court. You're thinking of dropping other lawsuits. The media's response to this, and quite frankly, even the conservative media, like, it's over, let's just go. And we're saying, this is not over. One, it's not over. You got to close on the win. Number two, the Republic's in the balance. If we let this happen, it's over. And it also means we don't care. You're going to Gettysburg is so symbolic, because that's Burke's dictum. We owe, though, 157 years ago, last week, Friday, was the 157th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. That's the battlefield. That's the battlefield's right next to where you're going to be, I think, the Eisenhower Center. And the cemetery's on the other side of that. What do we owe those guys? What would they think of us just to let this, they just stole it, but we can't do anything. It's so terrible because the media's saying bad things about me. What are we talking about? You're at Gettysburg. We owe our heritage so much. And Boris, I think it's amazing the job you're doing. And I just say, hey, you and Rudy and all these guys, and all you get is grief. All you get is people saying throw in the towel. You're recalcitrant. You're taking Trump down the wrong path. And I'm here to tell you, you are doing the Lord's work in this effort. So thank you, sir. Now, how did you expand the battlefield? How did you pull this off?
Well, Steve, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the kind words. And I want to tell you, I want to tell the known world and the unknown world, everything we're doing, hot off the presses. We've got a new lawsuit we're dropping in the state of Arizona as we speak, and it's focused on three major things. One, Maricopa County elections officials illegally refused to allow official elections observers to observe the process by which mail-in ballot signatures were verified, and we're demanding to inspect the envelopes and signatures to ensure that they were legally signed and not fraudulent. Further, Maricopa County election officials illegally failed to allow official observers to watch the process by which damaged, rejected ballots were fixed, which are called duplicate ballots. There was an unusual amount of duplicate ballots printed in one specific district where, guess what? The outcome was unusually high in Biden's favor, Queens Creek, Congressional District 5. We're requesting to inspect those duplicated ballots, the fixed ballots, to ensure that there was no error in the process. We are working hard. We are working all over the country. We're looking at Georgia. We are making sure that the recount there includes signature matching. In Pennsylvania, we continue to move forward in the Third Circuit. Yesterday, we had two wins there, and we are pushing forward to enable us, to enable the Trump people to speak, to file that second amended complaint, which encompasses all of the fraud, or not even all of it, but a majority of the fraud in Pennsylvania. And tomorrow, Mayor Giuliani is going up there. He's going to do a great job. He's going to do a great job in Gettysburg. He's going to battle in Gettysburg and lay out the extensive amount of fraud all throughout Pennsylvania. And then we are in Michigan next week, in Arizona on Monday. Wisconsin recount continues, and their hearings set now for Nevada. So no matter how much CNN, the New York Times, and even the New York Post now, because maybe they've made a business decision to go the other way, want for there to be a Biden administration, this campaign, this president, this legal team are ensuring that every legal vote is counted, and we are expanding the battlefield, pun intended, with Mayor Giuliani going to Gettysburg tomorrow.
Okay, here's the question. By the way, the audience has your back, and what they want to know is what they have to do to put pressure on state legislatures. And here's the thing. It's just to count every legal ballot. Every legal ballot must be counted. And if every legal ballot is the chain of custody and is accredited and certified, and if President Trump loses, he loses. These are American patriots. They get it. Hey, you lost, right? You ran a great race, but we counted all the legal ballots. They lost. But we're not going to count any uncertified illegal ballots that don't have chain of custody. But the question our audience has in supporting you and having your back and thinking you guys are doing amazing work, is there enough runway now that you're back re-engaged at the state legislatures? You're doing these hearings tomorrow in Gettysburg. You're going to do Monday in Arizona, Tuesday in Michigan. Ducey and them are going to make decisions of whether there's enough here to start to call back the legislature for you to make
right.
to make bigger presentations. Where your witnesses will be cross-examined, right? At the same time,
for sure.
fighting through federal courts. On these six different efforts, do you have enough runway? Do you have enough resources? Do you have enough manpower? And do you have enough time?
We do. We definitely do on all three. In terms of time, you know the time. We've got till midnight on December 13th, and we are going to take every single chance, every opportunity to make sure, as you said, that every legal vote counts, because it is not about this president. It's about the president, and it's about the legality and the full transparency of our voting process. We want to know what the legal votes were for President Trump and for Vice President Biden. And if the legal vote count comes out the other way, if Joe Biden really got 80 million votes, and I'm going to say it again, if Joe Biden really got 80 million votes, God bless. But if anybody thinks that an incumbent who got 12 million votes more than last time, President Trump, 63-75, is going to be lost fair and square to Joe Biden? Well, you know what? I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Maybe I've got five bridges all over Manhattan, okay? Because that is an absolute joke. That is an absolute joke. Joe Biden had four people in a bunch of circles at his rallies. President Trump had tens of thousands. And you think all of a sudden he's beating him by 150,000 in Michigan? Come on. Let's just be honest. We know that the Democrats, the left, have been perpetrating fraud on the American people in elections for decades. For decades. JFK won the 1960 presidential election because Chicago and Texas were stolen. And now it keeps happening and happening and happening. And for the first time, as you mentioned, for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, Republicans are standing up and saying, we're here to be counted. And to your answer, what our people can do is make sure that your local representatives don't cancel these meetings. Make sure they attend the meetings and they do the right thing, which is look for the legal vote count in each one of their states. Make sure they know that our Republican local officials, elected officials, state officials, national officials have to act with honesty and truly count every legal vote and not just do the easy thing, which is roll over for the New York Times.
Quickly, because I know you're pressed for time, but I want to go to people since they started this process in Wisconsin. People have kind of taken their eye off the ball. Because I'm hearing great things out of Wisconsin. Get our audience up to speed. What's actually happening in this re-canvassing audit recount that's going on in Wisconsin right now?
The recount's ongoing. We've got maybe done as soon as tomorrow, maybe toward the end of the week for both Milwaukee and Dane counties. And from what we understand, exactly what we expected, which is that in Wisconsin, where vote by mail and absentee is not a right, it's a privilege. You have to apply for it and be granted that right. We believe that we are going to see a huge number, 100,000 or more, of absentee mail ballots that do not match up to granted application. And guess what that is? That is unlawful balloting. Those are illegal votes. And we want to count just the legal votes. President Trump is only down 20,000 in the state of Wisconsin.
You think actually when they come out, there could be as much as 100,000 to get tossed out?
We're going into this recount, our sources told us to expect that up to between Milwaukee and Dane County, Dane is where Madison is, up to 100,000 ballots were not going to match up, meaning 100,000 votes cast that do not match up with granted applications. And that's only in that issue. That's not even talking about to the indefinitely confined issues, which is people saying they were confined, but they're not. And other problems where there's cheating.
Well, that was over 100,000. That was to,
I think that was in Wisconsin. That was about 212,000. We're talking about Wisconsin. Yeah.
25, exactly. So it's almost 200,000 difference. You're not including that. But here's what, for the audience, I think where people get lost. Paul Ryan, a guy from Wisconsin. Okay, exactly. But maybe I'll go to my next question. How does a guy from Wisconsin, because everybody that's associated with this, even the most establishment people are saying it stinks to high heaven.
So in
Wisconsin, although the Wisconsin, well, Paul Ryan said the vote's over, he lost, it's time to move on, and we're just hurting democracy. I think it was hurting democracy by continuing on this. Trump lost, it's time to move on, Biden won. How can a guy from Wisconsin, when it's open secret?
Paul Ryan's enjoying his fancy board seats, okay? He's doing that while we're here fighting it out for democracy. And guess what? Paul Ryan's a lifelong loser. Paul Ryan was supposed to be the rising star of this party, got absolutely destroyed by Joe Biden in the 2012 election. Okay, how'd that go for him? Okay, and then he quit being, and he kept whining about being Speaker of the House, which is like the best job ever. All you gotta do is you go up there, gavel, you talk to some people. It's not that bad. Okay, ask Boehner, he loved it. Smoked cigars, played golf. Talk to some people. It's great. So Paul Ryan. I'm gonna discount Paul Ryan's comments. Okay.
Okay, he also did not count. He did not carry Wisconsin.
I'll tell you one thing about Paul Ryan. That's one leprechaun who found the gold at the end of his rainbow. That's for sure.
With the board seats. Okay, I want to go to Georgia right now. It's a little confusing. What exactly are you asking for in Georgia? Are you just going to go back and do another recount of these ballots? You're in court to you want to re-canvass? You want to audit? What are you asking for in Georgia?
We want to do an honest recount, which has to include signature matching. We have to match the signatures from the ballots to the envelopes and ensure that the people who voted are the ones who the ballots cast actually match up with voters. Also, we want to discover any more thousands of ballots that they have. They already found about 5,000 or 6,000 ballots in a pro-Trump county. Would be nice to know where the rest are hidden. Would be nice to know.
We got about 30 seconds. How can this audience, this is a massive audience, they're very engaged in this and they're listening every day because they want the details. They want the granularity. What can this audience do to support you, Rudy, the team, and the President of the United States in this effort?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you, Steve. I want to thank your whole team over there at the Warm. And most of all, I want to thank the audience. Give everybody love. And I'll tell you this. Again, be vocal. Be vocal on social media. Email your local representatives, call their offices and say, hey, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's count every legal vote. It's not about, oh, let's give the election to one candidate or the other. Let's stand for election integrity. That's what we're asking for. And that's what we're asking the audience to ensure that their representatives do.
Boris, how do people follow you on social media? How during the day can they follow Boris Epstein?
At Boris EP on Twitter. The one, the only, at Boris on Parler. Boris underscore Epstein on Instagram. I'm posting some cool stuff up there, okay? And you know what? We're having a great time because we're defending democracy. God bless you, Steve. God bless everybody.
Boris, thank you very much. Boris Epstein from the campaign. We're going to take a short commercial break. It's scary to know. I thought all the influencers were like 22-year-old. It's Fog City Midge in that crowd. Now we got Boris is doing Instagram. He's on the gram. Maybe I should do the gram. I've been kicked off everything else. Maybe I start doing Instagram. Okay, we're going to return. We got Dr. Hatfield here. Jack Maxey. They're up in arms in Germany. They're fighting the mask. They're fighting shutdowns, lockdowns, all of it. World's on fire. We're going to return the War Room in a moment.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
20,000 plus emails and text messages, okay? That show a substantial and deep involvement with foreign companies controlled by foreign governments that have never been disclosed before, okay? These people are, they're a national security problem. And the issue before us today is why the FBI didn't deal with the national security problem. This is just not a bunch of grifters from Wilmington, Delaware. Right. This guy's running for president of the United States. He's been vice president of the United States. He was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. OK, every country in the world is trying to get access to him. OK, this is what this issue is about. This is a national security problem. and the guys around him, the Jake Sullivans, the Tony Blinkens, all these guys that want to be, you know, Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and National Security Advisor, they're going to have to answer.
They're going to have to answer. And that day's coming. Because, you know, he's not going to be president, but if they're going to do a faux transition, we're going to do a real beatdown, okay? Because you're getting on our nerves now. Seriously, getting on our nerves. We're trying to save the Republic here by having a fair vote. Instead of Joe Biden wandering around today with the guys with the mask, look like they're about to rob a train, right? With nine guys back there, with men and women with masks, why isn't he reaching out to his campaign and said, look, I want to sort this thing out in Pennsylvania. I want to sort this thing out in Detroit. I want to sort this thing out in Wisconsin. I would not accept, and I would never accept, these early vote things that were done by absentee mail but really weren't done, right? I don't want to do this. It's not right for the country. Whereas he talks unity, talks all this smack, right? And he's got a bunch of – this is how sleazy the guys are around him. Only, and they're also idiots. It's just like the hard drive from hell. The grift is so stupid and so in your face. It's just like the stealing the thing. They're not subtle about it. They're just in your face because they don't think, no, they think Republicans are just going to roll over and clutch their pearls and say, this is terrible. Did you make reservations at the Club Deer so we can, you know, go wine over some drinks? No, we're not doing that. You got a bunch of ruffians now.
Why do they think
that? We're street fighters. We don't care. We didn't get invited to the club. They threw us out. So.
Why do they think that, though? I think it's because of people like Paul Ryan.
This is my point. A quitter. A lot of quitters. Easy to quit. Let's just quit, and we can go watch football on Thanksgiving Day. We don't have to work through the 4 days or 5 days.
Paul Ryan, not an heir to the Iron Battalion of Wisconsin. Coward, quitter, loser.
And just said, but this is the thing. In Wisconsin, it's on fire. You showed that if the guys in Denver can play the video of the people on Sunday morning. This is the second day. They had 250 or 300, I think, showed up at this place on the first day. The second day is like three times as many. They're wrapped around the corner. That's in Wisconsin. Paul, do you still keep touch with the Wisconsin? Or now that you're on the board at Fox, it's just too, you know, they're the little people. But that's what this show is. This show is a bunch of, it's all the little guys. But the little guys, when they lock arms into a phalanx, is an unmovable force. It's called the Iron Brigade of Wisconsin, right? That was at... Guess where the Iron Brigade was? It was at Gettysburg. I mean, it was all over, fought everywhere, but at Gettysburg is where they really came to fame, right? They would not bend. On the day one, you wouldn't have had, the Union would have gotten rolled up all the way back to Washington. It would have been over in one day if the Iron Brigade and the others on the first day at Gettysburg did not stop them early in the afternoon. That's what you had, these guys. What was the casualties we did the other day, 71%?
They had three regiments from that battalion with over 70% casualty rates.
70% casualties.
At Gettysburg, and as a battalion for the war, they had over 60% casualties in extent.
This is insane.
One thing that everybody has to understand.
General Reynolds went down, this is how intense the fire was. The general went down to set him up on the first day to get him in formation. He's the first general. I think he's the only Union general that was killed at Gettysburg right there, day one, bang, blew him right out of the saddle.
Well, and the other thing that everybody has to understand, and the Iron Brigade is a perfect example of it. There are so many times in history when small groups of men and women took a stand that nobody thought that they could endure. And guess what? They changed the day. We saw this with a machine gunner at Guadalcanal. We've seen this every time we've been in a fight, people.
Sergeant York, everything. Go with your backs to the wall. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have good days in this one. We're going to have bad days. Yesterday afternoon, about 5 or 6 o'clock, yeah, that was not the best day, right? The worst was the people around him. I'll be blunt. Gore gave up on the 13th. They didn't start the transition to the 14th. No problem. In Bush in 2000. Why do they have to start a transition? Why do they have to have landing teams? Why do it? He hasn't won yet. Why even do this?
And remember, Bill Clinton did not release a single dime from the GSA until December 14th, the weekend after the Supreme Court had declared again
I think the Supreme Court did on the 12th, but the 14th is the day of the Electoral College. That's where you got to do it. We've been saying this. December 14th is probably game day. But if you go back to Blinken and these guys, if they're going to pretend they're going to be in administration, then we're not going to pretend to beat down on them nonstop. And these guys are right off the hard drive from hell. Here is the in your face. They're stealing in your face, but the grift is even worse. Now, here's what it is. We said day one, why did I say 2 months ago, this guy can't get confirmed, not confirmable. And he's just a clerk. He hasn't upset anybody. He's part of this. Is remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a conspiracy. Don't believe this deep state stuff. What do I say? It's in your face. It's an in your face. He's a clerk that goes all the way up through the system. Just a clerk, right? Starts as a grundoon. Just a clerk. Everywhere he's a clerk. And now he's going to be nominated to be Secretary of State, head clerk. Okay, that's the system. It's not a deep state. He's just a schmendrick. And when they leave, they go to Council of Foreign Relations. They get some money there. They start a consulting firm. We've been talking about this for weeks. Now Politico's got the story, right? We've been talking about this for a week. This is how in your face they are. They named the consultant. But I think there's 20 people come from this consulting firm. Flournoy's a partner. All these other guys. I think Sullivan may have something to do with it. The consulting firm is called West Exec. Now, West Exec is the name of the street. The old State Department is that beautiful kind of Victorian building, right? The late 19th century building that's right there. It's the old State Department. And it's turned into the executive office building, now called the Eisenhower. And that's where most of the staff of the National Security Council and most of the staff, in fact, the legendary Peter Navarro and his team are over there. Most of the people there, the West Wing is very small, very old, very cramped, very small. A petri dish for COVID-19, okay? And it's on top of, essentially the White House is a military command post with a residence on it and a small office. It's underneath, you get the National Security Council, right? That's where the Kennedy room, the Situation Room, and everything like that. So that's underneath. But it's very tiny. So most people work in the executive office building. They named the consulting firm. Talk about chutzpah. They named the consulting firm West Exec. It's like, baby, we're not just selling access. We're broadcasting access. And what's the, and if you read down in the thing, the buried lead on paragraph 10 of every story, is guess what their biggest business is? Getting market access for American companies into China. It's just pure CCP grift. Their whole business is saying right now, oh, it's a return to stability, it's return to order. It's just the neoliberal, neocon, America in decline. Remember, why is Donald Trump president of the United States? Because of the managed decline of our country by our elites. Notice I didn't say Democrat, I didn't say Republican, by our elites. Gore Vidal used to call it the Uniparty. People laughed at him at the time. But it's the managed decline in every aspect of American life, whether it was border security, health care, education, manufacturing. And what does it come from? What is the managed decline? Because we're not the economic powerhouse we once were. With the financialization of the country, you've got this concentration of wealth. But even the jobs that come up, that's kind of these service jobs, we're not the manufacturing powerhouse we used to be in the 19th century. And how did that come about? It was through something called the American system, built by Hamilton and then someone named Henry Clay. And Henry Clay was the idol of what politician? The biggest nationalist in the history of this country, the biggest, single biggest nationalist in the history of this country, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was about the Union. Obviously, freeing the slaves, part of it, right? A big part of it, particularly after a couple years in the war when he knew he had to take the war to the higher moral plane. But it was to save the Union at first, right? What did Lincoln do? His side gig when he fought a bloody civil war as basically a totalitarian dictator because he became himself a warlord. He had to win it. Which they never talk about today when they're jumping on Trump. This is a guy that really threw reporters in jail, threw a congressman in jail, running guys out of the country, putting guys in prison with no habeas corpus. He did three things. He passed the Transcontinental Railroad, he passed the Homestead Act, and he passed the Land-Grant University Act, right? This was a guy that had a vision. In fact, I would actually argue, and I've argued before, that it was globalist versus national then. I'm a Southerner, right? I come from Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy. So I'm deeply imbued in all the history of the Confederacy. But the Confederacy, the plantation aristocracy, the first thing they want to do is cut a deal with the British. They were thinking about going back to the British Empire, make a slave empire in Latin America and South America. They were globalist. They say it's a war of independence, but it was their independence as an interim basis to then hook up with something else. Lincoln was a hardcore nationalist. And here you have guys, the globalist grift. They actually name it West Exec Avenue. I got news for you, Tony. There is zero probability. First off, he's not going to be president, so you're not going to be nominated. But in case, in some fantasy, it's zero probability you would be. Because Jack Maxey's in your stuff. We got emails here. We got you. First off, you're part of allowing them to do the grift and not turn anybody in. They're doing far. They're calling on you nonstop. Where's the report that turns them in? Hey, can you actually do this? Can you set these meetings up? Are you getting paid for this? The answer, Tony, was yes. Should have asked that question. Okay, we're going to be back in the war room in a moment. Is now
here's the
you
thing.
You don't want ventilator.
Here's
want
the
it, thing. You want to have put them on auction,
here's
right?
Here's the thing, Stephen. Okay. When your stove in your kitchen is on fire,
yep.
You throw water on it. You put it out. You don't wait till the entire house is in flames to call the fire department. For COVID-19, hydroxychloroquine is that pail of water. It dampens down the disease.
Do we get taken off YouTube for putting up a? I'm just showing what a box looks like. YouTube. So I'm not giving medical advice.
Something really interesting today. They just announced that the Institute of Tropical Medicine in Antwerp, Belgium, is doing what they say is going to be the largest scale study of early treatment for people with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to Africa with Bill and Melinda Gates' money. And they're going to be looking at some lopinavir, ritonavir, which are two AIDS drugs that they're going to use. And they're going to test a whole multitude of drugs. But here's the interesting thing. This is going to be a combination trial because they're willing to do it in conjunction with the standard treatment in all of these countries, hydroxychloroquine.
But that's great for
which
that's
remains the standard care treatment in almost of Africa.
But that's great news, though.
Of course it is. But here's what we're saying. In the context of Africa's low death rate, nobody seems to have been able to make the connection between their excessive use of hydroxychloroquine on a comparative basis and the number of
deaths. Why is that? And why are these reports that came out that said hydroxy had no impact, but nobody did it as a therapeutic? I haven't seen any of the big studies about therapeutics. They all did it after you get it and hitting you up with these high dosages. Why did nobody actually go out and do studies as a therapeutic? Stephen Hatfield, doctor, author of 3 Seconds to Midnight, expert extraordinaire.
It was blocked by two people.
I'm talking about throughout the world. I'm even pointing at the U.S. government. Because I don't want to get into the finger pointing. There's plenty of time for that later. I'm talking about why didn't the world?
They did. 47 countries are using it. Did you see Slumdog Millionaire?
I did.
Okay, very sad. That was partially filmed in one of the larger slums of Mumbai.
Yep.
You can't social distance. It's impossible. They were aware of that. And you got to remember, India.
You're saying in India, they hand out hydroxy nonstop.
They learned from 1918. They had one of the highest death rates in the world.
Yep.
They learned from the plague outbreak.
The second wave.
In the 1990s.
Yep.
They were ready. And they didn't do it as Gestapo. They went to the local doctors in the slums, the general practitioners, and they worked with them and they worked with the community leaders, and they did an aggressive community outreach. And if somebody, and they didn't have test kits, so they did it like we've always done it, really. Based on the physician's suspicion. It's proven to be such a safe drug. If anyone has any doubt, go to c19study.com. Okay, there's every paper ever written on it.
Okay, we've got to take a short commercial break. We'll be back in a second. We got Dr. Stephen Hatfield, one of the leading experts in the world on pandemics, wrote a book. Go to Amazon. It's a book that we recommended so strongly when we started the show, and people picked it up and got really down the got up the learning curve quickly. 3 Seconds to Midnight by Dr. Stephen Hatfield. Jack Maxey, Greg Manns. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll return, talk about the vaccine, and we've got a little special that we're going to leave with at the end of the show. Be back in a moment. To the end, just watch and see. It's all started, everything's begun, and you are over. 'Cause we're taking